Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Now, before we get going with the full show, one of our microphones decided to play up, so Benroy's audio is a little bit all over the place, so don't get too annoyed. For now, though, on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Benroy Turner.
Hello there.
And Rich Hudson.
I'm debating whether to say hello there as well. Like last time.
Hello, I'm Doom Eternal, counting the days until Doom Eternal.
7 days.
It's only 7 days. You know how many hours that is? It's not
many.
That. Yes, many.
Someone on Twitter tweets me every single time. I'm currently tweeting every day with a GIF from Doom Eternal saying, it's this many days. And every single one, this guy sends me back a tweet with like, I don't know, like this many days, this many minutes.
Oh, God.
Like, wow. Someone's definitely keeping score.
Yeah, Last of Us 2, Cyberpunk, Doom. I will say at this point, because I can finally say that I have a code of Doom Eternal. The review is coming next Tuesday. So whoever's listening to this, come back on Tuesday. I don't know what time, but at some point next week, you'll be able to find out what our thoughts on Doom Eternal are. But for this podcast, we thought we'd do another question pod using the hashtag WCGP over on Twitter, where you can leave all sorts of thoughts and bits and bobs you'd like us to talk about. So please head over there after this podcast and leave some different thoughts for next time. For now, though, first question comes from Curtis Rio Sewell, who says, what are some game trailers that got you the most excited for, and did they live up to it? For me, the one that comes to mind is Planet Coaster's launch trailer.
Oh, this is what you meant about Planet Coaster?
Yeah.
Question. Yes, a lot of hype for that. Also a lot of hype for the Planet Zoo trailer. When that first came, because that was kind of out of the blue. Surprise, we're doing a zoo version of Coaster. I'm like, cool. I mean, I'm actually wearing a Planet
Coaster. He's fronting.
Coaster. I'm wearing a Planet Coaster t-shirt today, right now. No, I can agree with that.
Planet Coaster was like the return of the Roller Coaster Tycoon stuff.
It'd been dead for so many years. Yeah, it was dead for like 12 years. Tycoon 3 was 2004. So, and the franchise, that genre just had nothing. Wait, I say it had nothing. In reality, it did have a lot of stuff. You had Thrillville, Scream Ride. These were Frontier games
Scream
as well.
Ride.
But they just, nothing really captured that same full-on management sim like Tycoon did. And then obviously Atari went and shagged Tycoon to bits and ruined it. And then Frontier, who did Tycoon 3, went, hey, we'll do our own one, did Planet Coaster. And suddenly the genre's back again. Hence why I want to say that the success of things like Planco has is the reasons why things like Two Point Hospital have come back.
Oh, 2 points immaculate as well.
Yeah, it's like, I think that's the resurgence of that kind of genre is so good to see. But yeah, for trailers, for me, just very, very aptly right now, I keep going back and watching the original Doom Eternal reveal at E3. A really short one that just had it like panning through, the camera panning through like a hellscape on Earth. And then there's like a sort of slap bassy sort of half played E1 M1 before Duclair steps on that skull.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh! But we did a chat on this ages ago, and what I said for that was the original Black Ops 2 trailer.
Yeah.
And they revealed that Frank Woods was alive after he supposedly killed himself in Black Ops 1, and it said, hey, it's in the future as well. Like the goosebumps when that trailer came out in 2011 or 2012.
I think sometimes there's an art to doing like an immaculate reveal. Like sometimes they can absolutely nail it. Benroy, what was your most goosebump-inducing trailer?
So I've got like 2 answers here. For Goosebumps, I'm going to go a bit back in time now. I feel sick saying we're going back in time with this. But Gears 3.
Right, yeah.
We're seeing all the heroes from franchise at this point fending off the last standing against the Lamb. But I think there's undertones of Mad World in there as well.
In that trailer, didn't they hint that Dom was going to die as well? They showed him like struggling more than everyone else.
The first one they showed is basically, it's not part of the game, but like everyone that was sort of left fighting just like a broken city, just like everyone there. And being surrounded by Locust one side and Lambert the other, and just like they're just Mad World mm-hmm. in there a bit as well, but like that brought me, because like the Mad World, obviously, as we know, it goes all the way back to Gears 1.
Mr. Gary Jules.
Filters through, mm-hmm. but more a recent one, Resident Evil 2. Just like, you know, that rat tease,
right?
Just that rat tease, and just like, wait, what is what?
Yeah,
what? Why is there a PlayStation 1? Or was, and then you realise it's the red. Watching that in the morning before work, mm-hmm. I was just sitting there screaming.
How it was like realizing that they were going back to the old school stuff as well, or just like at least in terms of just graphics, like it just looked phenomenal from the get go. And then obviously it turned out to be this, like, because we're talking about things that lived up to the hype as well. Like obviously Black Ops did and Resident Evil 2 is immaculate. For me, it's, yeah, we talked about it on the chatty face that we did. I mentioned Halo 3. I'm going to have to go
through the smoke.
Yes, the whole bit when Cortana's saying, like, I am your shield, I am your sword, and Master Chief comes back through the smoke. The piece of music that Marty O'Donnell wrote for that background, where it's those three piano notes that repeat, it's just literally makes me cry every single time. I think it's phenomenal.
The thumbnail is literally you crying. I remember putting tears on your face in Photoshop.
Say when Joel says, "What are you doing, kiddo?" in the first Last of Us 2.
Yeah,
the chill that went up my spine and caused my eye to almost tear a bit. I was like, "Oh, this is happening."
Again. I know, that's the thing. Like when you realize, like in Last of Us's case, I realized how much I genuinely love those people as if they were real people, and I care about everything that they're going to do next.
I do find myself on YouTube a lot looking back at those like biggest reactions from trailers at E3, like when they first reveal Last of Us 2, and it was the couple of shots and the music, and it's like, oh, this looks very Last of Us, and then you see the Fireflies logo spray painted on the stop sign, and everyone goes absolutely
nuts. We should totally do a separate pod on the best reveals, because God of War, the reboot, when Kratos steps out the shadow and you realize that's what this game is.
The music brings you into
And it's like, oh my god, is that what they're going to do? And then the reveal's phenomenal. I'll quickly mention Metal Gear Solid 2 as well, the fact that they were going to do another one, and then the graphics at the time. Still, MGS2's graphics are pretty outstanding, like for a PS2 game, and Snake just appearing out of like the rain and everything on the bridge. So yeah, there's a lot. We might end up doing a whole separate pod on them, because there's so many to get hyped for. This next question comes from Donald Ogg, who says, which game has the best DLC? And I can immediately start out. Oh, go on.
I want to start out because I have my hand up and you can't see it.
It's true.
I think Left Behind.
Ooh.
I think Left Behind for Last of Us, I replayed it recently to clear up some of the old trophies, you know, win that water gun fight, throw some bricks at a car. Uh-huh. And it's just so nice to play.
Like a calmer moment in the series.
I wish it was all non-combat.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bits that were combat kind of do work. It's more like you have to scurry around.
Mm.
And then you've got, at the very end, you've got like fight, which feels like 100 men with just like a toothpick.
I mean, because Left Behind is the flashback or the prequel bit where you play as Ellie and Riley.
And also Ellie when she's getting the bits to heal Joel up. And the Ellie and Riley stuff is great. It's perfect. Like, even to the point when Ellie's like, what's a Facebook, when you go to take your pictures and you have to upload the pictures to your Facebook to get them out in the photo booth.
I think it's so rare that like a DLC like meaningfully adds to a narrative. Like I think she mentions Riley a couple of times. She says that she had a friend, she had someone in her past. You know, and that's one of the reasons why she wanted to give herself for the Fireflies, and they don't go there with that. They just let it, you know, go up to your mind's eye.
Find her dog tag in Ellie's bag when you become Ellie. Mm. You look in there, but apart from that, like, you never really hear the name Riley or anything.
Yeah, and then like, actually finding out like how close they were, and I love the way that DLC ends. Like, it's just in terms of like how, like I said, how close they get without spoiling. It's great. And then I thought that meaningfully added to it. Rich, what's your favorite DLC?
Staying on brand.
You can't have Planet Coaster twice.
Planet Coaster, I wasn't going to say Planet Coaster, there's a lot of good DLCs for that. I would go back to Tycoon 3 2004 when they released Soaked, which was the ability to build water parks.
Oh man, that's cool. Parks.
It's still the thing we're waiting for.
Can you make a log flume?
I mean, you can make a log flume in the base game.
Oh my god!
But yeah, they did a whole DLC to make water parks. You build pools, you build slides, you build all sorts. And it's like,
pretty game for that.
It's like, it almost felt like an entire game plopped on top. And then staying on brand for me, in Call of Duty Black Ops 3, during Infinite Warfare's life cycle, we'll forget this game exists, they released the Zombies Chronicles DLC.
Oh, okay.
Which was 8 remastered maps from the previous 3 games into Black Ops 3, which is still the best game for the zombies mode, in my opinion.
Right.
Give you, hey, here's pay 20 quid, get 8 remastered maps, like fully remastered, ground up, and it was amazing. And it's like, it is the most, if anyone wants to play the zombies mode, that is the first thing I would suggest, is get Black Ops
3,
get Zombies Chronicles. The base maps in Black Ops 3 are good. DLC maps for that are also quite good, but Chronicles is the best way to play it. So
I feel like Call of Duty's had like a weird relationship with like DLC over the years, but
it's always a weird one. But Chronicles is the most sort of anomalous bit of DLC, because it's so much more like, hey, here's 8 Zombies maps.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's no frills, there's no rubbish, there's no season pass part of it. It's just, mm-hmm. here's a DLC.
You know exactly what you get.
Yeah, you know exactly.
Mine would be The Witcher 3. I've been genuinely blown away by Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine. Blood and Wine is nigh on a sequel to The Witcher 3 in terms of the size of that map, the amount of quests, the amount of content, hashtag content that's in that DLC. They literally just did like a humongous amount of stuff, you know, that is offered up as DLC. But it's just the fact that, like, you know, if you want to go on more adventures with Geralt, it's cool. But Toussaint, the area that you're in, just looks gorgeous. They sort of give it this kind of like ethereal, like fairy tale kingdom look. And it's just like both of those pieces are great. Hearts of Stone is all about this immortal guy that's sick of, he once wished to be immortal, and now that he is, it's like the darker side of that where he's like, all my loved ones have died and I'm just stuck and I can't die. And it's just, you have to try and help him to sort of be free of his curse, and there's multiple endings and stuff. They're both great.
Over the summer after Ghost of Tsushima, I can actually give Witcher 3 another chance.
How far did you get the first time?
I think I did up to the Bloody Baron stuff. I did play for about
30
hours.
Oh, so good. Did you get through the Baron stuff?
Yeah, I got through the Baron stuff. But I think I was playing it wrong. Like, I didn't know where to find the good armor. So like a core jester, so I sort of gave up.
Oh, yeah, don't wear that stuff. Some of the I forgot what they call them, those like weird, like you said, like court jester style tops just look stupid on him because he's meant to be this like badass witcher dressing like, yeah, like some weird performer. But yeah, look for the bear armor, the Ursine armor. That's the good stuff. Next question from Alex Hubersty, who says, most people agree that the first three games in a series are considered the best, and he cites Spyro, Crash, and Sonic. Of those three series, which games, excluding the first three, do you think are the best or are your favorite? And he mentions Shadow the Hedgehog will forever hold a place in his heart.
You know what? I remember the first time I played Shadow the Hedgehog, and obviously being like just like being a bit younger and thinking, oh, it's like Sonic.
So radical, man.
It's one of those games I look back to, and when people say, oh, it was absolutely terrible, I'm like, was it? I don't remember it being terrible. I
never played it. Like, yeah.
There is one really easy answer to that, and that's Sonic Mania.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh, that, yeah, you've
Sonic
won.
Mania is arguably better than the original
film. I will say it is, yeah. Mainly because it
love,
has the best levels
Sonic
and everything.
Two bits. Mm-hmm. I have played that game to death, but Mania is better.
Mm-hmm. Ben Roy from Spyro, Crash, and Sonic, outside of the first three, what do you think?
Not played outside.
So I was going to say outside of the first three is usually where it gets worse.
By the time Crash hit PS2, I was in there, I think I said this, I was there at the stage like, I'm not playing these mascot things anymore.
Wrath of Cortex.
I've grown up now.
I'm playing all these tactical like
give me twin pistols.
Spyro, I didn't play Spyro 3 for years. I played 1-2. Sonic, I only ever played them on the Mega Drive, never touched them since. I played that dolphin level, that whale level in whatever game that was.
Sonic Adventures?
The big whale. Oh. The big whale. You know the thing when you see the whale jumping over you?
Is that not Adventure?
Oh, no, sorry, that is Adventure.
The
opening of Sonic Heroes has got loads of whales in it.
Yes.
Yeah, never interested in playing them after.
Play Mania.
Mania's perfect.
Play Mania.
I would play Mania, but I don't want to go fast.
Oh, you do?
What,
you so
what
do.
What are you talking about?
The music's
man.
Phenomenal.
Booly Booga.
No, that's Crash. Look, if I'm going to mention, yeah, games from these series, Spyro I can't speak to, although apparently Year of the Dragon's not too bad. The one where they finally got Elijah Wood in and they did like teenage Spyro. Apparently that's fine, but I never played it because like you, I dropped off.
I didn't
off.
Like Spyro when you weren't Spyro. I playing as that penguin dude recently.
Oh, he's great with
looking
the rocket
in the
launches.
Magazines and stuff as a kid, like, this is going to be the best thing ever. Garbage.
It's not
garbage.
That bad, Ben Roy. The one with the cannons on his shoulders. I wonder if that's inspired by the Doom guy.
The Revenant.
The Revenant. Just like a Revenant penguin. It's so close. Put them next to each other.
You could say that flipping Blastoise was inspired by them.
Hey, if there's a through line there and some dev would like to point that out, I'm going to put that out
this
there.
This conspiracy theory in gaming is Blastoise.
Anything with twin cannons is coming from the Doom Revenant. So Spyro I can't speak to. Crash, Twin Sanity, I always thought was the only good after the original trilogy, good Crash. Although people like Josh and Ewan recommend Wrath of Cortex, the PS2 one, but I was always
that was the first Crash I played.
Right, yeah, because people are like, well, it wasn't Naughty Dog.
I just love the
but...
ball levels. I just thought they were really cool.
Mm-hmm. I hear it's a good follow-up if you didn't play the Naughty Dog ones, or it's very much that formula continued
I'm
kind
really
of thing.
I'm really surprised you haven't mentioned CTR. Even though it's not a platformer,
ooh,
technically it counts.
It's because it wasn't a platformer.
Post-Crash Bash, every Crash game made me want to vomit until the new series.
Crash Bash is a shout.
Do you want some tribal tattoos on your arms, mate?
I'm glad I waited to get tattoos because I would have fooled Randy Orton.
That was such a weird stage where Crash became Kerry King from Slayer and just had tribal tattoos all over his arms.
He became that really edgy Game Boy Advance SP, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and he's that one SP with the tribal tattoos.
Everyone knew one guy who thought he was the coolest thing, having a tribal Game Boy Advance SP.
I wonder when Mario got that lasered off because he had that on his arm as well. The marketing Mario was like, oh,
Oh, yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
What? Mario did? Mario
when they tattoo, were marketing right? that SP, Mario had it.
Oh, God, yeah. That was like 2007 energy, like the most.
Well, yeah, he hasn't got it by Odyssey since he's running around shirtless and there's no tribal.
God. Yeah. But yeah, Sonic Mania, Crash Insanity, CTR, Crash Bash, and Spyro, maybe Year of the Dragon.
Skylanders, mate.
Skylanders, I guess, but he's all mutated.
He's
and
weird in
he's
that.
A goblin in that. It doesn't look good. Next question from a Phantom Philly G, who says, he said all of the podcasts have made him think of a question. Which games did we enjoy making our own fun in more than the intended game experience itself? Which I makes me just think of GTA or Red Dead 2, to be honest. I'm going to go with Red Dead 2 because the sheer level of animation priority in that game, the amount of things that they put in, the amount of causal animations that come from NPCs. Like, even if you just run into someone and they fall over and fall into three other people and then they both fight each other because they think that they've started a fight with each other, just watching that all unfold is way better than playing the moralistic high ground for me.
Minecraft for me.
Oh,
just building my own creations for hours and then like building a like half scale of like the Golden Gate Bridge.
Fully. Nice.
But also back in the day when you had to use coloured wool, so like the threat of it maybe setting on fire if there's a thunderstorm. So
oh, no. Does Minecraft have like a defined path? Because that's all I've ever done is just mess around. I mean, with
there, it. There is, yes, there the Ender Dragon stuff. Like there is a way to end game it in a way now.
Right.
But also, when I had it first got up my MacBook back when the early days of like when it was first popping off on YouTube. Just go into the far. I think they call it the Farlands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, when it just got really like
you go so far out that you can't render the world properly anymore. So it's like
it's all just like a big wall. It's all like, broken.
That's great.
Post-apocalyptic sort of thing in this weird sort of mess. Mm-hmm. But just going down and like digging for hours in Minecraft and building Big Ben and building like beacons within forests and stuff like that. Just pure fun.
I never did the Ender stuff. I just mean my wife always just live in that world, kind of like the way that they live in Inception, where they just sort of build their own little world. So
me
we
and
have
my
a little tree house.
Spent hours prepping for the Ender Dragon and actually beat it, and it took a while, but it was fun.
I've heard it's worthwhile.
The Ender Dragon stuff. I would quite like to actually do a full Minecraft campaign. We should do that.
Do a long,
should
a
we
long
do,
play.
Do a massive long play on the channel.
Grown like, men play Minecraft.
I mean, it's seen,
Minecraft videos on YouTube won't work.
No, that's insane. That's crazy.
I used to spend a lot of time in Forge on Halo 3 trying to do stuff because obviously playing so many custom games with friends, I was like, this is my kind of thing, I could do this. And I could never click with the actual production process of doing stuff on Forge. Mm-hmm. But kind of, I say semi-cheating for this, Garry's Mod.
Oh, okay.
I spent so much time just building crap in Garry's Mod, building rocket power bathtubs and downloading mods to build, quite aptly build roller coasters out of like big curved bits of road.
You can I love it, like,
freeze into space and just mess around with. I spent hours just doing literally. Obviously, you can play certain game modes like TTT and Proper and Garry's Mod, but I genuinely just load into the default map and just piss around.
Right. I love that you think like, over the years you were always trying to make Planet Coaster or something close to that, and eventually
I was, like,
trying
my best to find something to scratch that itch before.
Trying to make a roller coaster in Halo 3.
Also, I jump in with Forge. I actually remember like playing a lot of that as well and making my maps. I recreated like a map called Blood Drive from Gears of War, which is a really popular map.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just recreated
actually,
that in
I tried
Forge.
To recreate two fort from Team Fortress 2 in Minecraft. I didn't get very far with that.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minecraft is, when it works, is phenomenal. The thing that made me give up was just that me and my wife had a lovely little house with a tree and everything. We had a big tree house, and then a little creeper just blew it up. I know that's like the thing, that's the thing in Minecraft, but it took everything.
Minecraft for me is one of those games I get that itch to go back to, and I'll play it for like 6 months solid, and then I'll just stop completely. I'm currently in that stop
phase. Yeah, you've kind of got to ration it out.
Yeah.
Next question from Nicholas Coombs, who says, create an Avengers-like team-up of video game characters, and his suggestion is War from Darksiders, Jack Cooper with BT from Titanfall 2, Sam Gideon from Vanquish, and Kratos from God of War. Have fun. Now, I think this is quite hard to do off the top of your head, but I will throw together Dante and Bayonetta. I'm basically just going to think of the Platinum heroes all together, so I definitely want Dante and Bayonetta to be together.
Get 2B in there as well.
Oh! If you had Dante, Bayonetta, and Master Chief all hanging together.
Maybe get Sonic in there. So I'm thinking of people with powers rather than just like a man with gun. So Sonic could be fast. Like, you could have like Marcus Fenix in there as like, say, the one gun man. But you want someone who's like a bit more strong. Like, I think Sonic would be a good fit in this.
Yeah, we don't have anyone that can really fly. Bayonetta can get up there, but I don't know if she can stay in the air. I think she can.
Tails.
Put Tails at the top. You can tell people where to go and what to kill. I can't think of more.
CJ from San Andreas with the jetpack.
Yeah. I mean, if you did a GTA Avengers combo, if you combine like Claude with Tommy Vercetti and CJ, Nico's just complaining in the corner because no one ever wants to do what he wants to do. Everyone's on the phone. Forever wanting to go bowling. Next question from Funny Boy, who says, what two video game worlds would you want to combine and then live in? Love you all. Thank you very much.
I actually had an answer for the live in question.
Oh, bring on your team up question, sir.
I would have said Gordon Freeman, surprisingly.
Yes, of course.
The Doomslayer.
Oh, Doomsday's a god.
And
Sonic.
Elizabeth from Bioshock, keeping them both stocked.
Making sure that they don't get too carried away.
Yeah.
Be sure when they are warping between different places. In terms of different worlds that I would mash together, I don't know what would complement each other.
I know, but I don't want to live in these worlds, I don't think. Control when Alan Wake, make it happen. I want it to be real.
They're pretty much the same
cinematic universe.
World anyway.
I'm just saying on this platform that I want it more real.
You would like to go to the, what do you call that place? The Unknown House or something?
The Largest House.
The Largest House?
It's not the Largest
House. It's the Something House, the one that's the Transforming House from Control.
You should know this.
With extended creepy spectral stuff from Alan Wake. I don't know what world I would like to live in as a game world I would like to live in. Something
is
luscious.
Like, is it you'd like to live in?
Yeah, it's what two worlds would you mush together and then live in. So it has to be nice after being combined and then live in it. So I don't know. I would think of something more luscious. I'd probably pick Toussaint from The Witcher, even though outside of the main kingdom, the peasantry is very high and it might be very disease ridden, but it's very luscious in the main bit. So I don't know. Maybe this question is
oldest,
just too hot.
Really oldest bad. House.
The oldest house.
Game world. Maybe something from Crash because it's nice there. And something else that's nice.
Plenty of apples.
Just Mushroom Kingdom. Just let me go go-karting and play some party games, play some tennis and, you know, chill out.
Or do you combine it with Doom? So every now and then you get sick of it and you can just go on a big old massacre.
All of a sudden Revenants turn up.
Alongside that penguin from Spyro 3.
Alongside the penguin of Blastoise. Yeah,
that's the Avengers team. That's your Avengers team.
Mate, I'm thinking Mushroom Kingdom and the world of Hitman because I can just throw spanners at people's heads.
Oh.
If there's something I could play, I'd love to merge the worlds of Spider-Man PS4 in Split Second and swing around and explode, literally exploding city.
It sounds like a beautiful thing. We have another question from Phantom Philly G. Thank you very much for submitting more than one. Why don't we have more Bond games separate from the films? He said it's such a good franchise, it would work so well in video games, and he just says that, you know, you can combine so many different eras and different countries. Your own 007, maybe why not have different stealth and driving gadgets and action? It could be first or third person. There are so many options.
I think this is because once Activision gave up the license, it's sort of gone. Like, they've been more focused on trying to make the Bond brand more like mature again. Like, it's all like marketing with Heineken and stuff like that, and really expensive watches and stuff like that. I don't think they're as interested at the moment in making a Bond game, and the last few didn't really like sort of strike it hot.
I think that's, that's the main thing. Even though, like, obviously you say about immaturity, like there is this amazing maturity to certain games now, and they could do a Bond
game. Like a really good
super
one.
Super serious. Like, you could do something like, in terms of like third person shooting, you could do something like Naughty Dog-esque with that kind of aesthetic, that kind of approach to stories and stuff. But I think it's mainly down to the fact that the IP just doesn't get as much traction in games anymore.
It reminds me of the same way that EA treated Star Wars, where like before the exclusivity deal, like in the 2000s with Bond, there were so many awesome games, like Agent of Fire, Nightfire, Everything or Nothing. I even quite liked the Quantum of Solace game because it was the Call of Duty 4 engine.
I nearly got that for the Wii.
Yeah, I used to be a sucker for that thing that Rainbow Six Vegas started to do where it's first-person combat and third-person taking cover.
I would like shout out for more things like, even though it wasn't the best, Golden Eye Rogue Agent, where they brought Goldfinger, Doctor...
He has a golden eye!
...and Francisco Scaramanga together. It's a super organisation of all the, some of the biggest Bond villains taken down. I would like a Bond Chronicle game. They did it before. Activision did a few, but give me bits from every film and just bring it in there and sort of thing, and have that as a new basis to I think you wait now until Craig's out and you've got a new face to bring in.
Yeah, I think a lot of the turnaround on the movie side impacts the game dev. Like, obviously, if you're going to do a big AAA game, you need like a 3 or 5 year dev cycle. And I don't know if that lines up with the way that they plan the Bond movies.
I also do think, though, it's like they like marketing themselves high end products. And like, I know games are high end great, but I think people behind Bond maybe don't see it that way.
They're too old and they don't play.
So they are quite ancient, aren't they?
I would love it if they did a Bond remastered package, like the Everything or Nothing. Like I said, all those games from the 2000s, just put them in one thing.
They did GoldenEye Reloaded, but that didn't really get...
Nah, and that was like with Craig instead.
It was a bit meh.
It could have been better. Next question from Jem Duduku, who says, really love your podcast. It's like sitting with mates whenever I listen to it. Thank you very much. Question, what TV series could be turned into a video game and what genre would that video game be?
Ooh.
Which makes me think, not that I'm recommending it, but this reminds me of the Narcos game, which turned out like an XCOM game, which I didn't see coming. And it makes you want to buy it, even though the reviews were terrible.
Breaking Bad.
How would you do Breaking Bad?
I would do it sort of like, so not open world, but sort of like restricted open world, where you're going from bit to bit and you've got like, there's a lot of sneaking around in Breaking Bad and like make it, and cooking, let's cook.
And like a cooking minigame.
In the desert.
It's like cooking Mama.
Like Breath of the Wild.
With meth.
I would take
Walter
that.
White's Cooking Mama.
Yeah, I did, for me, like my favorite shows are Breaking Bad. I absolutely adore The Shield. And there was a Shield video game came out in the year when the 24 game came out, which is just a standard third-person shooter. I think if you're going to do a Shield game, you'd have to do it super intense. It needs to be something with lots of branching paths, because in that show, if I totally recommend The Shield 100,000,000%, but in that show they get into increasingly morally gray, just straight up dark territory, where they're stealing drugs or killing people or whatever. This group of police officers that are doing as much as they can to get a take and take money for themselves, and forever skirting the law, and they just keep getting into deeper and deeper territory, and it's like eventually they're going to get found out, and you'd need something like that, where you have all these different choices of like, do you want to take the money? Do you want to get rid of this witness? Do you want to plant evidence on a corpse to pretend that actually this is how this thing went down? LA Noir style, but with really good shooting and with lots of dialogue options and crime scenes to sort of manipulate.
Let's try Game of Thrones again. Now it's all out there. Do Witcher, Game of Thrones, but I also want to be able to fight the big zombie battles. I want to take my sword to some zombies.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Slap them about.
Mm-hmm.
I think mainly based because it's on what I'm rewatching at the moment, and also because its original property it was spun off from hasn't had a great time with games apart from its most recent VR title. I would love to see a survival horror, almost like Resident Evil 2 remake or even 7-esque Torchwood game.
Oh,
you've just got me excited.
There he is.
There we go. I'm back in now. All right, lad.
It's like John Barrowman, let's go.
Give me a bit of John.
Big Bad Barrowman.
Because like, they could take, because I'm rewatching Torchwood at the minute, which, have you ever seen Torchwood?
I've not. I know it's a big deal.
I think you should watch it. Okay. I feel like you might like it.
They solve every mission by just shagging the alien.
shagging.
Like Doctor Who. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like Doctor Who. But if you plopped John Barrowman like with the rest of the cast on the comms, and he's like trapped in like a space with an alien, and it plays out like Resi 2 meets Alien Isolation, and you have this sort of survival horror thing. Ooh. With like puzzles and shooting, and you've got this horrific creature, because obviously with Torchwood they made it a lot darker, a lot scarier. Like two of the episodes of season one are back to back. Cyberwoman's really naff.
I like that.
The episode after Cyberwoman, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the one with the girl and the pixies that take her away. And then the one after that is the one of just weird serial killers doing it for fun. Like those two episodes in Torchwood are proper harrowing.
That sounds crazy.
It's like season 2 where they go to the house in the field and then all these people are just cannibals.
That's season one. That's what I mean. That's countryside.
Okay, that was a legit.
But
like,
genuinely, it's like it finished the episode and it was like I'm scared and also. But no, I think if they did something like that, like a proper full on, like, they just go, similar to what they did with Torchwood, they just went balls to the wall. Mm-hmm. We're going to just do gross, sweary, sexy stuff. Let's do that in a game. Just give Capcom the Torchwood license and get John Barrowman in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could sprinkle in bits when John Barrowman, interacts with the Doctor, so bring him back for, like, say, some of the bigger episodes of Doctor Who when he's going against Dalek and stuff, just as a, like, sprinkle.
Just as a little thing, yeah, like a DLC thing.
A raid boss.
How do you do the episode where the shag gas goes into people?
The shag gas. Genuinely, episode... Episode two is literally a meteorite hits Earth, this gas comes out, takes over a girl, and the only way the way this alien stays alive is with orgasmic energy.
What is this show?
This girl literally goes around shagging guys and they explode into dust.
I'm guessing a man wrote this.
That episode was written by the incumbent showrunner of Doctor Who, Chris Chibnall.
Of course it was.
He wrote the episode about an alien that shags people.
Well, great.
On this episode, the reason how they find out this actually the shagging is because there's a guy watching CCTV footage
beating his meat, isn't he?
What is it? Touchwood?
Yeah, I'm right with you.
It's proper. Like, right. This, by the way, everyone, this isn't Doctor Who. We need to make sure this isn't Doctor Who. Oh, here's this bloke getting neck bitten open and blood everywhere.
Okay.
And it's just like, yes, now there's an alien shagging people.
And someone
Torchwood game.
Good. Someone in the pitch room was like, can we get some shag gas? What?
Shag gas?
Just put it in.
Shag gas?
That's all I need.
There's a lot of shagging in Torchwood.
Good. So a final couple of questions. Dom1582, did we do this one? No. What trend do you think video games missed out on? For him personally, hearing that GTA 6 might be based on the drug cartel, he thinks that the Narcos period, obviously the show from Netflix, has already been and gone. Thanks for helping on his walk back home from work. Anytime, sir. I guess in terms of trends, the main thing, I don't know, was shared universes for the long time. And I remember there was an interview with Hideki Kamiya from Platinum, who said that he wanted to do a Dante meets Bayonetta game a few years ago, which never got off the ground. So for me, there's not that many trends in entertainment overall, because I don't know, it stands out, shared universes stand out from the last couple of years.
Cover-based shooters was a big thing for a while, like everyone could get behind a wall and shoot some stuff.
That was in gaming though. I guess he means like wider sort of like cultural trends or things that cross in like TV or in entertainment in general that you think games could cash in on or get in on. There's not that, like, for
that's
me...
That's quite tough, actually.
Yeah, there's not that many that it feels everyone's running with. For a while, the Netflix-style show, the sort of, like, colour-drained, David Fincher-esque colour palettes was in for a while. But, I mean, we had that in gaming with Heavy Rain, L.A. Noire, and, like, detective fiction. So I don't know. But I guess in terms of if it was going to be shared universes, I would take more crossovers, because reading about that Dante Bayonetta thing was insane.
Cool. I mean, just the idea of, especially with like IPs existing in the same universe, like there are times where that has happened. Mm-hmm. You've got like Half-Life and Portal that take place in the same universe.
Yeah.
Which got tied together during, I think, episode one.
Do you think as well that they'll...
Still haven't seen it properly, like actually properly intertwined. That's what we're waiting for. So Alex next week.
Do you think eventually they'll do more Crash Spyro turnover stuff? Because like Spyro's in Crash Team Racing, and both those games, as we saw before we came in, are still in the top 10 or whatever it is selling games in the UK.
Down to publisher like crossing things over. I think it's intriguing to see whether the Insomniac Spider-Man plays into Avengers or if there's any kind of link between those two things.
Yeah, because when Brian Interhar from Insomniac said that because of the way that like they, when they had those initial conversations about them doing Spider-Man, it was like, you guys are the beginning of rolling all of that stuff out. And it was like this sort of conversation. We did a news video on it a while ago that like, yeah, if Spider-Man landed well, which obviously it did, that could be the birth of like what might become known as the MGU, the Marvel
Depends
Gaming Universe.
Depends on how Avengers is going to be, because I think as time has gone on, we're all sort of like, yeah, okay. I'm looking at it like this looks pretty bog standard.
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
A little bit. It kind of needs like some sort of game mechanic we haven't seen before. Not just, here's the God of War hammer and here's the Batman combat. Like, why don't you do something else? Ben Roy, my friend, do you have any video game trends you'd like to see in game? Oh, no. Any trends in general you'd like to see in gaming? And it can't be Resident Evil. Mia Jovovich is not a trend.
No.
Maybe not. It's a very hard question. Maybe we'll revisit in the future.
It's sort of mirroring what we said earlier. You could maybe say like, kind of like the Bond reboot stuff, like doing more movie stuff now. Because I feel like if they gave stuff, not even necessarily as movie tie-in games, because we know they only land every so often, but just doing stuff within those cinematic universes we know of in cinema and just bring them to games and extend, like do more with that license, kind of like how they did the Thing game, kind of like how we're getting the Potter RPGs.
Or
like,
do a Thing game.
Give us stuff in those worlves, just add to it.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Totally.
I you can watch any film ever. I want to be able to play any game ever next year. And I know that's kind of happening with Xbox, but I want to be able to play Jello Power Battles on a PS5.
Oh, the thing, I joked that I'm buying a PS5 to play Simpsons Hit and Run, because if it's fully backwards compatible, then assumedly you'll be able to put any disc in it.
That's the thing. Like, we still have a PS2 at home.
Right.
Big old fat PS2. Beautiful thing.
Uh-huh.
But it's also like... Also, it means that the games won't run like bum, because this game is really quite
bum
old.
Running.
Like playing Spider-Man 2, I don't know whether it's just the copy I've got, but Spider-Man 2 is a bit iffy. I got the original Half-Life on it, and it's a bit iffy.
Mm.
But like, if I bung those into a PS5, and it just does the job, I'm
yeah.
like, ooh.
If,
yes.
it, if it's all, I don't know, like frees up the frame rate in some ways, it upgrades it in ways that we never thought we wanted. If there's some way to give me a version of Hit and Run that is substantially awesome in 2020 or 2021.
The audio is pretty awesome anyway, but yeah. I know what you mean.
It could be even better.
Imagine being able to play Hogs of War on a PS5.
Again, we could do a whole separate pod on like PS1, PS2 games.
We want to play on the PS5.
I want to play Headhunter, as I recommended. Was reminded of that the other day. But yes, head over to Twitter. You can use the hashtag WCGP to leave us your own questions and thoughts, and we'll get to them in the future. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Goodbye.
And Rich Hudson.
Goodbye.
And we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shag gas.
Shagging gas. Hang on, Collins.
Rumpy salmon. Pumpy.
We're swapping the over this time.
Salmon,
gas shag.
Shagging salmon.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.